Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Anna, who has agreed to be with us in what is the middle of the night, her time zone, to talk with us about her experience of email classes. Welcome, Anna.
Oh, hello there, Jen. Hi.
Thank you so much for your willingness to be on with us tonight.
Oh, no, it's fantastic. It's my pleasure.
Very good. So you're quite a veteran of email classes at this point.
Yeah, I actually went and found the very first one that I did, which was Dismantling the Ego.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was in 2005.
Well, that's a long time ago now, isn't it? It's amazing,
yeah. Isn't
it, to look back on that.
Yeah. And I have done every email class since then.
Wow. That's really inspiring. And I wonder if you could say a little bit about what do you feel like the email classes kind of add to your practice?
Right. Yes. Okay. Well, firstly, it's a chance to get connected with other Sangha members.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now, because of the way that the email classes are done now, and that's where everybody's response is put up onto a special page on the website.
Yes.
And that's only people that are doing the email class can access that.
And see it. And that's really an amazing feature that's new since I think probably when you're talking about the email class that you first did, Sherry would pick the responses because the responses were really quite long. And so she would pick some and respond to those and put them up. But with this fabulous new format of keeping the responses to 50 words or fewer, she actually responds to every single one.
Yeah. Sherry responds to every single email. So say if you've fast forward to the end of the whole email class, you've then got access to all of those. You've got access to responses as they come out, but they stay up afterwards.
Yeah.
And that is so much. There is just so much information there. You know, so you could then do the class again and again and again. It's like a library.
Yes, you know, that's exactly what was coming through when you were talking, and I'd never thought of it that way, but it's essentially like once the class is over, you now have an e-book on that topic.
Yeah, and the information is invaluable.
Yeah.
So the responses are amazing, and what Sherry says is amazing.
Yeah.
It's priceless.
Yeah, and what's so great about it, you alluded to this a minute ago, but that it's created by the Sangha. And so, you know, at least in my experience, every single thing that people write in, I can relate to, but I might not have thought of putting it that way or asking that particular question and then getting to hear the guidance back. It's like getting all this guidance on the same topic for all of us.
Absolutely, yes. And because there are so many other people involved, and because you're getting to see all of their responses, and because of the way the email class is constructed and organized, for me personally, I found that each assignment will build on the previous assignment. And so it builds and it builds and it builds. And the way that I do it, I mean, I do try to get the most out of it because I see it as an amazing opportunity. Mm-hmm. So by the end of it, I feel like I've done 5 years worth of work. I just feel I feel that I've grown so much. It's really intense. Month, it's on my mind the whole time because it's support as well. It's another form of support, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah, and it's there so much. So by the end of that month, or however long it is, I can see the difference in myself. I can see where I was at the beginning, and I can see that I'm a different person.
Yes, exactly. It really is. It's a month-long intensive practice. That you can do from your very own home, which is what makes you such a great candidate for talking about this opportunity, because someone like you who's very, very far away, it's difficult to get here in person, but especially with email classes and really with all of the far-flung opportunities, it's possible for you to put, to immerse yourself in practice just like anyone anywhere.
Yes, yes it is. And for the last email class, the resistance email class as well, my email, my normal, usual email, it's kind of connected to my computer. It's a lovely email. I like it. But I set up a new Google Mail account that I can access on my phone.
So
for me, that was a new experience as well. So I was, you know, when I was at work, I was able to have a sneaky look at at the email that would come through on my phone. Or I dealt, that was fantastic. So it was even more with me.
Yeah. So you really, that's another great point, that now that we have such access to our email, it can really be a support all the time wherever we are, work, home, out doing whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned the resistance.
Sorry,
go ahead, Anna.
I was just going to say that's a big change from the dismantling the ego in 2005.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
You didn't have the phones then.
More and more. You know, one of the things, this is an aside, but that I love about what we're doing with technology and practice is that so much of technology could be pushing us more and more of the, in the direction of busier and faster and, you know, more unconscious, but we're using it for as an aid to wake up and be conscious and hear all the time,
absolutely,
which is really quite fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely the way forward. It's the way to use technology.
Yes, yeah, I agree. So in specific, the reason we wanted to talk about the email class tonight is that there's another resistance email class coming up. And so we thought it might be fun just for you to talk a little bit about your experience of that class in particular and what you found, you know, powerful and impactful about that.
Yes, certainly. I really enjoyed that email class. It was absolutely fantastic, and I was raving about it the whole time. The very first assignment was really wonderful, and it was something that you could then use throughout. You could refer back to it throughout the rest of the email class. And I referred back to it afterwards, and I use that now. It, you know, you could use it for the rest of your life.
Yeah, you're doing such a nice job at speaking to it without giving away the content.
Yes.
It's true.
It
set the framework, the groundwork, not only for the class, but that's a good point, for kind of something you can touch back in on a day-to-day basis.
Yes. And it was quite a surprise. As well, the first assignment. So, which I think that the whole email class was like that. I think each assignment was really exciting. And it explored the topic in a really interesting and fun way. So some of the metaphors used were very, very memorable, really fun to use, really clear as well. For me personally, I found that I was able to get to the root of lots of the class assignments just so clearly, like a beam of light.
that's a good description of it. Very clear and very simple ways to get at what is huge for all of us, the, you know, resistance. We find practice. There's the potential for freedom in our lives, and of course conditioned mind is going to go crazy with that potential. And so it picks up resistance in many, many different forms. And the class really leads through very simple, as you say, clear, direct, powerful ways of seeing that, recognizing it, and moving beyond.
Yes. It was that. And yet it also went so deep as well. For me, personally, the class, it felt like it was a guided journey, going really deeper and deeper and deeper into unexplored territory. And for me personally, I found there was me at the end of it. That there was, I don't know, my heart or my authentic self at the end. It was fantastic. And the finish was amazing, and and just left me walking on air for ages afterwards. To say with previous email classes, it depends, but you do feel that it's not there anymore when it finishes.
You
feel, oh, I'm not doing the email class anymore, and you know there's not going to be anything in your inbox. And so for me, obviously living in England, you know, a long way away, somebody like me will feel that. Whereas with this class, it didn't really feel like that. I was still moving along on the momentum of it.
Well, and you know what's really fun? What you just said was you felt like at the end of the class, there was you sort of waiting for you metaphorically. And so would really make sense that where you wouldn't feel that loss because you still had you at the end of the class.
That's right.
Yeah. That's a really
right.
beautiful description of it. Thank you for that. And just another piece of it, which I think is so generous on the part of the guide, on the part of Sherry, is that I know for you, and it's true for me too, that if this class were just going to be exactly the same and she were offering it again, I would definitely sign up because, you know, there are no two classes exactly the same, just like you can take the same retreat. And yet she's offering a sort of second tier. So for those of us who have taken it before, if people want to sign up, then there's a whole. There'll be a whole second stream, sort of second level of assignments for people who've already taken the first one. So that's a really that's a fun element to it.
Yes, and that's and I have signed up, so I will be doing the second level, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Excellent. Great. All right. Well, Anna, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you again for your willingness to be up in the middle of the night.
Oh, that's okay. It's marvelous. Thank you for asking me, and it's lovely to join in.
Yeah, participation is always great, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. Well, take good care. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, you take care too. Thank you, Jen.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Okay, Michael. We'll turn it over to you.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Anna. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good. I got excited about the class myself listening to that.
Yes. Yes, me too.
You know, the last, I think, you know, the Time to Feel Good email class.
Yes.
That we did dozens of times, seems like now, because we really wanted to get everybody as grounded in recording and listening as possible. That was powerful. It felt like there was just such a huge change in the depth of people's practice with that email class. But this last resistance class was a whole different animal, and I think Anna really kind of captured the spirit of that as a sangha, it felt like we just went to a whole new place as a result of that class. So I'm really excited for folks who missed that one to, you know, have a chance to get up to speed with the rest of us, and then those of us who are doing the next one to kind of take it to a, I don't know if it's a new level or just get maybe just reimmersed or something like that. I don't know what it is for those of us doing it again, but and I think part of it for me, in no matter how many times I do one of these things, it's being with people who are doing it for the first time that is such a thrill, because as they were indicating, you know, people just, the things that people say, the insights that people have, and the way they express what they're seeing is just such a gift for all of us. Fun way to practice.
Yes, it's really fun. As you were talking, the beauty of the anonymity at the same time as the intimacy. You know, it's just such a perfect reflection of the privileged environment.
Yes, that is such a good point, Michael, that both of those two things are happening within that privileged environment, aren't they? It's so...
Yes.
Intimate, and we have no idea who anybody is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's extraordinary.
So beautiful. And I thought I would mention the sign-up deadline, since it's not part of my announcements here. And the sign-up deadline for the email class is August 23rd at 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay. And then right after that, I think a confirmation goes out and away we go.
Yes.
So it's going to be exciting.
So
and it takes
now.
Us right up to the bridge walk.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Practice at warp speed.
A lot going on. A lot going on. And in terms of announcements, we've had a spot open up in the Not What But How retreat with you, Sherry. That's August 11th through 18th. It would need to be someone who could provide their own transportation to and from the monastery.
Yes. So if anybody's close enough to drive and has a little space in your schedule, I think it's going to be quite a memorable little event. It's a collaboration, and Justin and Ashwini are going to be providing a lot of the facilitation, and I will be joining in. And so you've heard rumors about, well, you've tasted the good food. You don't even need to hear rumors. You were there for that.
Yes.
So, yeah, if somebody can make it, it would be great to have one more person join us.
Yes, and so if you are the one, write to registration at livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And coming up also is Guidance Day for monthly donors on Saturday, September 1st. Look at anything about your practice one-on-one with an experienced facilitator.
Mm.
And this is a special practice opportunity offered to monthly donors who contribute $45 or more monthly.
Yes.
Yes. And as you mentioned earlier, everyone is invited to the, I think it's 11th annual.
Yes, indeed.
Golden Gate Bridge Walk on Saturday, September 22nd at Chrissy Field in San Francisco.
Party.
It's a party. And, of course, the purpose to celebrate the generosity and support of the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
I think Jen has some special surprises in mind for us.
So. Oh, goodness. Well, that's a teaser to get us moving,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go. I'll tell you that.
I'll be there too, huh? I'll be there too.
Yeah? Okay, good.
Visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to read more or sign up for any of these events.
Oh, and the other thing, this year's T-shirt is a stunner. Last year's was good, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
It was a stunner. Well, this one is, we'll have to see, but it's definitely neck and neck.
Okay. I'm restraining myself from going to the website to try to see if it's there, because I know it was posted last year.
Uh-huh. Maybe soon.
Okay, great. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Let's get started. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Jonathan from England.
Well, hello, Jonathan. Another night owl.
Another night owl like Anna. Yeah, we always seem to call at the same time or be there at the same time.
What's going on?
Well, nothing really. I thought for the first time I'd call with nothing really going on. Just, I don't know, I feel peaceful and relaxed. So I thought the last thing that would occur to me would be to call the show, because I normally call when I'm in some kind of state.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have some kind of terrifying question or issue, but I don't. So I just thought I'd call and have a chat.
Well, good. So
and see how that is.
Yeah, yeah. It always interests me when people say, you know, I feel like I can't talk to you unless I have a problem. I think, oh goodness, no. You know, I mean, I'm happy to assist people in whatever life situations they're in. You know, if I can be of assistance, but that doesn't have anything to do with awareness practice. Awareness practice, is something that we can really enjoy doing when there aren't any problems. So we want to move as quickly as possible through the problems so that we can just settle down to practicing being fully conscious, present, and aware with life as it unfolds.
Right.
Yeah. So what's going on in life? What's unfolding?
What's unfolding? Well, what's unfolding is a sense of like achievement almost, like peaceful sort of achievement, as if everything that I've been doing for the last couple of years is starting to pay off in a way that I wouldn't have predicted. I feel because I'm more relaxed.
Uh-huh.
I'm more relaxed with all the kind of driving ambition that's sent me spinning through my life, really, and hasn't brought us a lot of satisfaction. You know, the dreams, really, that society gives us.
Yes. So, for
it's like it's falling away.
Yes.
Know?
Yes. Isn't it interesting to see that when all of that falls away, we have what we were promised we would get once we completed all of that insanity. We never did do any of that.
Right, that's what's starting to appear. And I think I'm still doing the same things. I mean, I still go to the gym, I still go to work, I still watch a bit of TV, I still see my family, but the quality of it all has changed.
Yes. And can you say a little about what the quality of that is? What that change is?
Well, I think I'm actually here for my life a lot more of the time now.
Yes, yeah.
Whereas before it was always on to the next thing on the to-do list.
Yeah.
You know, my feet didn't really touch the ground. And I think what happened as I got a bit older was like I lost track of what was the original purpose? Because this just isn't enjoyable, you know? Like I went to university, I got a job, I got another job, I got this relationship, I got that relationship. What was the original idea, you know? Because I'm lost. And then I started meditating and all the detours that I've taken, they make sense now. Like, well, kind of, it's almost like conditioning had a battle with me or something like that. And I thought, okay, I'll take it on. I'll do the battle. But now the battle's over. It's like when I hear those stories load up again, you know, like, oh, you're not really gay. You know, you should be with a woman. I'm like, well, hang on. I've been down that road. I'm gay.
Yeah, I really appreciate
that's
that.
That's an example, you know.
Yeah, I really appreciate that notion that we get out there in the middle of this, and then now, why was I doing this? Where exactly was I going? And I'll often encourage people that what we don't do that we should do is question the original premise. So if I do this, then I'm going to get that. Is that, did I get that right? Okay, well, I did that, and I didn't get that. So let's go back and start all over again and see if what I was believing then, I'm willing to believe now based on my life experience. And, of course, when we take a look at our lives from that perspective, we realize, no, it wasn't true then. It's certainly not true for me now. And so open to going in a different direction, thank you. And it's not a different direction in terms of content. It's a different direction in terms of the process that we're using.
No, but I mean, at the same time, I'm enjoying the content, which I never really used to do.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, like I'd buy a television or I'd buy a car, and like 3 days later, I'd be like, this was supposed to make me happy.
Right. Yep.
Not as consciously or as boldly as that, but there'd be this kind of like disappointment. I'm thinking, but I just got what I wanted.
Yes, yes. I always get what I wanted, and it doesn't seem to be what I actually want.
Yeah, and I think that the slowing down that's come with this practice and other things, all the reading that I've done, meditating, most days, you know, exercising,
just being with
it's all coming together, and it's just producing a different life experience.
Yeah, well, that's great.
So thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for getting up in the middle of the night to let us know.
No problem.
Okay. All right. Good night, Jonathan.
Good night. Good night, Michael. Bye bye.
Good night. Thank you for joining us, Jonathan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Jodine in San Francisco.
Well, hello, Jodine. What is going on in your life?
I'm going to start my timer, because sometimes I go on and on.
Me too. But I don't have a timer, so I'll just have to use yours.
Well, when you go on and on, everyone goes, yay! But when I go on and on, I don't know what they're saying. I've been calling once a month for extra support.
Jodine, let me ask you, are you on speakerphone?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not. Is this better?
It is better, yeah.
I'm using a headset, and it can be near my voice, near my mouth or not. So.
Okay, because sometimes it gets a little underwater sounding, so thank you.
Okay. So I've been calling once a month for just extra support, and I seem to be, like – content-wise, I just had difficulties, like, in the past year or so, and I've ridden through all of this with practice, and I seem to be in kind of a calm place now, like, there's nothing I could point to as, like, a really big problem going on.
Uh-huh.
So
that's a relief right there, isn't it?
It is a relief. It's like, okay, anything wrong? No. Well, there never was, but, you know. And so I'm trying to, I'm actually trying to get my practice more regular, because I definitely had I'm not meditating and doing things as regularly as doing practice things as regularly as I was.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to kind of rebuild that. One of the things that has kind of come through this is a very long-term issue that I have had about compassionate livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
And some stuff came up recently that made me, like, back up and say, okay, I've got to look more at this from a practice perspective, and that's kind of what I wanted to ask you about today.
Okay.
So part of the content is that I feel like my the work that I do, like my trajectory through that over the course of my life, has been very negatively affected by discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in the job that I work in now, I come up against it on a very regular basis. And I don't know... I don't think it's gender. Well, it's hard to say, but I think it's a combination of gender and kind of a reverse racial discrimination, because in my work group, in the past couple of years, there have been 3 opportunities for somebody in the group to be promoted. And every time a promotion has happened and I wanted to get these promotions and was trying to line myself up for one of these promotions, the person who got it is the same ethnicity as the boss of the group.
It's the same ethnicity as the what?
As the boss.
Oh, uh-huh.
Boss. and
the
speak
same
the
gender?
Same second language. Actually, the gender has only matched 1 out of 3.
Uh-huh.
So, but the language, the ethnicity is a match. And one of these positions came open because somebody got so fed up with this boss that this person quit their job. And that person did not share the ethnicity and first language of the boss person.
Mm.
And I just find myself, you know, if I'm not centered, I just get into this story of, like, this is so unfair, and how come this person doesn't see my qualities beyond this other, you know, this ethnicity issue? Like, or that's kind of what it seems to be. And, you know, and I feel very victimized.
Have you asked about it? Have you brought it up directly?
It's not something that I have ever really felt comfortable, like, talking with him about it. Like, I mean, the coworkers all talk about, well, clearly, you know, it's pretty clear what you need to get promoted around here. But nobody talks to the boss about it.
Uh-huh.
Because, not that I know of.
Because you would be afraid of reprisals?
I guess I've just never seen how that conversation could be productive in any way. Like, I've had conversations with him where, to my face, he will say things that he's going to do something or there's going to be a policy change, and then, like, it never happens. And so I kind of feel like, well, if I had some kind of conversation with him about that, like, you know, I would just get the, oh, well, thank you for your concern. Or, I mean, who knows? But
so where does this leave you?
Well, this is the thing. I was looking at a job posting and applying. I was looking at applying for another job, for which I'm overqualified, but I have a geographic constraint that I'm kind of accepting at this point in my life. And so all the jobs that I seem to be looking at, I'm overqualified for, because I work in this, like, niche field. So to actually get a promotion, quote unquote, in another organization that does my work, I'd have to relocate. And so I look around for kind of other things I could do, but I'm always overqualified for them. But I was just looking at this job that I might apply for, and I told my husband, you know what, I'll apply for this, and if I get an interview, if the boss is this ethnicity, I'll just forget about it and keep working at my job. But if not, I'll go try it. Like,
well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Why is a promotion so important?
Well, that's a really good question that I've been looking at for a long time. And I guess the importance to me is that I'm qualified to do the job that this boss person does. I did, like, 12 years of schooling to qualify for that. And this is one reason why I'm so overqualified. Like, other people in other jobs look at me like, why aren't you doing what you trained to do? And so for all these years, I've wanted to have that role in this kind of organization and do that work. And instead, I work at a level of responsibility 2 levels down from that. And I guess maybe the only problem with that is the story going on in my head that I should be running the place or something.
Uh-huh. And so,
like,
do you need the money?
It's funny, coincidentally or not coincidentally, I used to work right below this person. I was a higher level than I am now, but I had a lot of difficulty with this discrimination, and so I asked to be demoted. But when they demoted me, they kept my salary the same, so I make like almost as much as he does. So it's not really the money; it's more like the kind of work. Like the work is more interesting to me that I would be doing at that next higher level.
Okay. Now that assumes that our life experience is dependent upon content. Right? Because I think we've both probably been around long enough to know that we can become bored with anything in a very short period of time if we turn our attention to it.
That's true. And I've practiced a lot with realizing that every piece of work that I do is a diagnosis of somebody who's ill or concerned about their health in some way. And like every case that deserves my attention. And I know there's two different experiences I can have doing this work, which is quote unquote beneath me, according to conditioning.
Yeah. So I don't know if you're getting here, but I'm getting to, it sounds like the really important thing about this is to lose the conditioned story and then see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because all I'm hearing is that you're listening to a story that's making you unhappy. The work that you do is meaningful. It sounds like you kind of have people's lives in your hands. So, you know.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
Yeah, so paying attention and doing a good job at that is kind of an important thing to do. You make a good living at it. And the only thing that's difficult is that's not fair, and I should be doing something else.
Okay.
Yeah, so. And I'm not saying that it isn't unfair or that, in fact, it wouldn't be great for you to be doing something else. But to be unhappy, to be made unhappy in the circumstances that you're in because of a story from conditioned mind seems like a waste of a perfectly good time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and we're over time, so I will take that and sit with that. And I am thanks very much for your.
I want to say one other thing before you hang up, and that is that to the koan is how can I be as happy as a human being can be in these circumstances? So these are my circumstances. My job now is to be as happy as a human being can be, and then see what life unfolds for you.
Okay, I'll take it on.
Your assignment. All right. Thanks, Jody.
Okay, thanks, Sherry.
Goodbye.
Thanks for joining us, Jody. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be back.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta from Washington State.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is David calling from Hawaii.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
It's Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
It's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Todd calling from Canada.
2012 marks 10 years that Sherry and Michael have been doing Open Air. They have fielded thousands of your calls and archived hundreds of shows. In this year of deepening practice, we invite you to give a donation to support Open Air. Go to the Living Compassion website, click on the Donations tab, and make a donation of any size to the Zen Center, writing Open Air in the notes field. Step forward to be part of expanding the transformation. Lend your support today.
We're very lucky people.
We are very lucky people.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So shine.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Colligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection, moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think open air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about open air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. It's Janice from Canada.
Well, hello.
Hi. I am so happy to be on. I've been trying for a few weeks, and there's probably lots to say.
Oh, well, let's get going then. What's going on?
Well, I think that the first thing I want to say is that I talked to you on the 22nd of June just about the possibility of maybe speaking at Google.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, there was just something in my heart. I thought, I love this practice. There's so many tools, and I know other people would have a chance to experience them. And not being a computer sort of person and having any connections that way, I just slowly started, okay, I will just email this person who gave me their number. And I had about 3 emails, and that didn't work. And I did contact the monastery who knew the person who could tell me if your schedule might be able to do that. And I only just heard that today. But what I started to do was just document all the things that I do and include something like, okay, today I phoned in to the radio show. And, I didn't get on, but I phoned in. And I just was so inspired that how there's no urgency whether this happens or it doesn't happen. I'm just taking little steps and take one more step and look around and see where it might be going.
Uh-huh.
And a friend that I had given some of your books to, where we go away in the winter, her son is now working for Google in Seattle. And through the books I gave to her and practice, she had let him know about some. So he had actually heard one of the speakers come, and I could phone him in Seattle. And so now that's who I'm kind of working through with introductions. And it turns out the person that I actually need to speak with is away. But I did find out much more about what it could look like. And I know I'm going away now. I'll be gone for actually a month and have no email or phone because this is my deepening practice plan year. And turning 60, I'm doing a lot of retreats. So I can just, I've made some connections, and then I can let it go, and I'll pick it up again. And what I just think is so amazing is that I don't really have a background in this sort of thing. I went to the person, I found out who it is that would coordinate this for Google, and he had a website, and I listened to a TED talk, and almost everything I heard, he is a Buddhist practitioner, and there was a good joke on it as well, Sherry, and I know you like a joke a day, or had mentioned that would be fun. I just loved the things I was hearing. For example, with that company, a couple of people got together randomly and then had a fundraiser to build a hospital in India. And I was thinking, it was so grassroots, like the Vulnerable Children's Project. There were so many things that was just seemed, well, this just seems to be going along and flowing. And what I really love is that I don't know where it's really going. And I'm just following my heart. And I don't have that attachment to the outcome.
Right. So you're just doing it because it occurred to you to do it.
Yeah.
And then you just take a step and then take the next step and take the next step. And who knows where it'll go. Sounds like a good life plan.
It's a great life plan, and it's working in other areas of my life, I've noticed. It's like, so there's been a lot of issues around that I've been dealing with, much more like that, and it just, man, boy, I feel a lot more present in my life, whatever shows up.
Yes, instead of, I'm going to bulldoze my life, my way through life, because I have an idea about where I'm going and how that should be, and I'm going to, it kind of reminds me of the conversation with Jonathan, you know, then we get out there and, well, how did I get here? This isn't what I had in mind. And then we begin to practice, and we start getting the hang of, well, let's see what life has in mind for me. And then now we're just living in a spirit of inquiry because I don't think I know what's going on. So it makes much more sense for me to simply be present to what actually is going on.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, because if I'm constantly comparing what is to what I think should be happening, then I'm actually just living in conditioned mind thinking about what should be happening. When I'm not doing that, then I'm just here, and, well, what is this? Well, what's going on here? Oh, well, that's interesting. Oh, yeah, that's, I could pursue that. Oh, that's fun.
It feels like beginner's mind to me.
Yes, exactly so. Yeah, all we have to do is get it that I don't know. So if we get it that I don't know, then well, maybe I can find out. It seems the next reasonable step to take.
Yeah, and if there's, like, a lot of urgency or efforting, I could know right away that that's really not the thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to make something happen that actually isn't happening.
Yeah. But the real thing that just got me, and I wanted to check this out from, you know, with spiritual guidance. One time it was just in the night, I kind of woke up and I thought, wow, if this happened, now this is an assumption, but probably Google would make a donation to something. And it kind of just totally lit me up. I thought, maybe that's my 300 for 1,000. I don't have to handle money, but because I talked about that before, you know, the cross-border and the handling of the money and all of that. But I'm only facilitating something that will benefit the monastery.
Uh-huh.
And then the voices came in and said, oh no, you can't expect the guide to say yes, and that would be, you know, you're only a little, you know, cell in the whole body there, and how dare you think that thought? But what I went back to was actually when the thought came, I just completely lit up.
Uh-huh.
Thinking that this not only just benefits people learning about practice, but it can benefit.
We never know where anything is going, do we?
We don't know.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say that the voices, they're really loud and crabby and miserable about that thought, that lit up feeling. All I do is hang on to, you know what? I was lit up.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course they're going to be crabby about that. Those voices don't like lit up people. You know, the other thing that I wanted to say about our the conversation that we were having just a moment ago, I am aware that people can hear us talking about just letting life take us where life takes us. It can sound so passive, but it's actually not passive at all, because life has, in my experience anyway, life has so much more going for us than karmic conditioning does. So karmic conditioning will be like a dog with a bone. You know, I'm going to do that and only that, and that's what I want, and that's where I'm going, and that's what I'm going to do. Whereas life has all kinds of possibilities and options available to us. And we can actively participate in and engage with everything that life is offering us all the time. So there's nothing passive about it at all. In fact, in my experience, it's far more active than the to-do list that karmic conditioning would offer us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sensing that the active engagement part of it in a lot of areas, and an example was that there was a pretty drastic situation within the family, but it was something that my partner and I had been not confronting because we thought it would make it worse, and we got to the point where it was so bad it was affecting us. So we actually, together with the fear, we held hands and went in straight through that, and it was like stepping up a ladder, going and taking your own foot off and arriving at the next rung and looking out at a bigger view and going, oh, wow, that's what we had to do. We had to just go through that.
Yes. Listening to the voices, you would have never taken that step.
No. And in fact, the not doing anything, you know, I was certainly under the illusion that not doing anything would actually keep things static, but in fact, not doing anything, like not being active, makes it worse.
Yes, there's no such thing as static, is there? There's no such thing as, well, we'll just keep it right here, just everything the same. Life is always moving.
Yeah, it's and that the idea that by not doing anything, it would maintain some harmony was just such an illusion, because really by going through all that we did actually created much more harmony ultimately. But, you know, it felt like a bit like being a quiet warrior about it all.
Well, good. It sounds like there's a lot going on. So
yeah, there's a lot going on, and there's so much going on that I can't sign up for some things like reflective listening because I'll be unavailable from phones and things. And then I just said to myself, well, I'm not going to whine about that because this is a year of deepening practice. This is what I'm doing. And don't forget, you're doing this year, right now.
Yes.
So
the good news is with the email class coming up, even if you're away, Anna pointed out, you can still do the email class because all you do is do it when you get back.
Yes. Yes. And it was just, you know, thank you for all that you offer.
Hmm.
Good night.
All right. Thank you so much, Janice.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Virginia from Washington.
Hey, Virginia.
Hi.
Hi.
What's
Hi.
Going on?
Well, I'm calling. Tonight is my this is my regularly scheduled time. And, well, actually, I'm at work, and I wanted to listen to the show, and I didn't think I would get on, but I'm on. So,
Yes, it better close your door, huh?
Yeah, well, I have the door closed, yeah.
Very good.
And, yeah, so I don't really, I've just been kind of sitting here thinking, what should I talk about?
Tell us what's going on in practice.
Well, a couple of things. I'm still working with the subpersonalities, and I'm starting to be able to recognize them. If not when they're there, like when there's a switch, you know.
Yes. You can see the one who was just there.
Right, exactly.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Exactly.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, it's pretty close. And that is actually really exciting. And a few more have come, you know, I've been able to identify a few more and work with them a little bit. And I think one of the things that I'm understanding from that is in recognizing them and, like, identifying them, the more that I see who's there and stuff, it puts me more in the mentor role just by virtue of the fact of identifying them.
Yes, yes, exactly. You are disidentified from them, watching
yes.
them, and from that place of awareness, you because you haven't identified with another personality or with karmic
mm-hmm.
conditioning, then you see them from a kind of a sympathetic perspective.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly how it feels. Yeah, yeah. Instead of just going along being identified and then flipping from one to the other.
Yes, with nobody to mentor them.
Yeah.
Nobody with a larger perspective, nobody to help them out or offer some advice or clarity or possibility or that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's been really good. And I've also been working with the 30-day retreat. And I think it all ties together, Sherry. For example, I have had the thing I've been working with on the 30-day retreat is it's like a mini schedule.
Uh-huh.
So it's basically asking myself to, like, show up at the cushion at a certain time rather than just, like, whenever it happens. And then to kind of have another thing happen at noon. You know, so one is early in the morning, and then there's, like, another check-in with myself at noon. And I guess the reason I say I think it's related is because my sense is it has to do with sub-personalities when I don't keep that commitment.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. That's just maybe it's
sub-personalities, you think, or maybe a little karmic conditioning?
Well, maybe some karmic maybe a little karmic conditioning.
Yeah, because you know, personalities, of course, the relationship tends to be there's a young part of yourself who gets talked to by karmic conditioning,
mm-hmm.
or by self-hate. So
okay.
You know, if there is a part of you who really wants to sit, it's
mm-hmm.
very unlikely that that's a young person. Yeah.
If there's a part of me who really wants to sit, it's unlikely that that's a young person.
Yeah.
It
doesn't tend to be. That's somebody older. That's usually for most people comes from a deeper place. You know, I want to
yeah.
practice.
That's okay.
kind of from the heart.
Yeah.
But then what happens, you know, the heart isn't demanding, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I really want to sit. I want to practice. But then karmic conditioning comes in and is often speaking to a less mature part
yes.
of you.
Okay.
And so things like urgency and fear and distraction work really, really well on.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yes, yeah. Distraction, yeah.
Distraction, right. Yeah, it's like, oh, look over there.
Right.
So you could do that before you sat. Or just do this, somebody was talking about this, you know, the just do that one more thing before you leave the house, which is the best way to make sure you're late to wherever you're going. So
okay.
It's that kind of one more little chore before I sit. And then, of course, I get started doing that, and I get caught up in that, and then I never quite make it to the cushion, or I never quite make it to the whatever it was that I was going to do to come back to myself.
Right. And for me, I do get to the cushion, but it's so sloppy in a way. I don't want to be, you know, too like a perfectionist here, but it's a little sloppy because those things that you were just describing occur.
Uh-huh.
So there might be an informal goal of getting there at a certain time, but then it kind of... There's meandering.
5 or 10 minutes, one
right.
way or the other. Which, you know, of course, is not a problem.
Right.
Right? It's not a problem. But the process is a problem. Right?
Right.
So if I get to the cushion 10 minutes after I scheduled it, you know, that's fine. I got to the cushion. It's great.
Right.
But if I'm consistently following a sabotaging process, that is a problem. Because I'm reinforcing that rather than reinforcing the commitment to myself. So we have to take all of this out of the right, wrong, good, bad, because it doesn't have anything to do with that. It's just, am I really supporting myself to do what takes care of my heart, or am I supporting karmic conditioning to thwart that?
Right. Yeah, you're speaking to me. I mean, you are describing what I've been experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, for most people, because we're so deeply conditioned in this way, as soon as karmic conditioning can get a hold of that issue, it does become about good person, bad person, or the right way to be or the wrong way to
be.
But it really doesn't have anything to do with that. It really doesn't. That's one of the hardest places for people to get in awareness practice, that those issues are completely irrelevant.
Yeah, it's subtle too, Sherry.
Yes.
That right wrong thing. It's not like it doesn't necessarily have to beat you over the head with it.
Oh, exactly. It's so deeply ingrained in people.
Yeah.
That it's a reference point whether there's any conscious awareness of it or not. So if I'm going to sit at 7 a.m. and I don't sit at 7 a.m., I feel bad.
Right.
Now, so if I get focused on feeling bad, it misses the whole point of, no, I wanted to sit, and something stopped me from doing that. That's the essential piece of that picture, not, I didn't sit, and so, you know, I should feel bad because I didn't. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
It's oranges and baseball bats, but it's so ingrained in people that it's almost impossible for folks to separate those things out.
Something's wrong with me rather than something interfered with.
That's right. Then rather than, so it's I'm driving down the road. This is a God forbid. I'm driving down the road and suddenly my car breaks down.
Yeah.
Well, I don't need to feel bad about it. You know, the car broke down. It's a something that happened. I need to figure out what happened to the car. I need to fix that so it doesn't happen again. But it would be pretty silly of me to feel bad.
Right, yeah.
So the same thing, you know, my trip to the cushion broke down. So something happened to it. I need to figure out what happened so it doesn't happen anymore. But it's not an emotional, moral issue.
Right. Wow. Holy cow, Sherry. Yeah. It's just like with alcoholism, which tends to be a moral issue, right?
Yes, exactly.
People Oh, wow. I hear what you're saying. That's...
If there's an addiction, there's an addiction. You know, if I'm addicted to alcohol, I'm meant to feel bad. But if I got leukemia, Right. You know, people, I mean, I'd have other problems if my whole issue with having leukemia was I feel bad. I feel like a bad person for having this disease.
Right. So you're saying that when, so in this instance, if I feel bad, well, it's a subtle beating up, but if I feel bad, like I did something wrong to make, to screw it up so I didn't get to the cushion at 7 a.m.
Yeah. It's not a moral, ethical issue. Feeling
but
bad is completely irrelevant.
Right.
And
if
even,
I,
feeling good is irrelevant. You know, I can, I sat, I enjoyed the meditation. I love awareness practice. It doesn't make me a good person to sit.
Right. Wow. That's really interesting.
Isn't
I guess because
it?
Because I think I've been on both sides of that. Or even if I get there at 7, then I that makes me a good person.
Exactly. I get approval. I did the
right
thing.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's fine if we want to get approval, if we want to, in quotes, do the right thing to get approval, but it doesn't have anything to do with awareness practice.
Right. Holy cow.
This is big. It's so big. I hope it will kind of launch a further conversation, because it's a huge issue for almost everybody, and almost nobody will really, really, actually, really get what we're talking about.
Well, I feel like I get the tip of the iceberg, and you give me enough to work with right now, but I think I'll need a further conversation.
Yes,
to,
good, good. Let's
yeah.
continue this conversation, because
okay.
I think it can be of assistance to all of us.
Great, yeah. Thank you, Sherry.
You're very welcome.
I will report back on this.
All right. Thanks,
okay.
Virginia.
Okay, take care.
You too. Good night.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, I love that my trip to the cushion broke down. That's
right?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, it just takes all the sting away.
Oh, exactly. So how
it's
did
just,
that?
How did that happen?
Yeah, how did that happen? Boy, we got. Well, now there's something. I want to see how that works so that I can make a different choice.
Yes.
Yeah, it's. You know, feeling good, feeling bad, for what we do, just goes back to before language for us, and so to try to actually get it that everything isn't about whether I'm a good or bad person. It's just it's a tricky place for us conditioned human beings.
Absolutely.
Because
sure,
there are people who do feel bad for having a disease, and there are people who would actually feel bad if their car broke down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your fault. You must have done something wrong if you've been blah, 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 blah. So, big issue.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And we are getting perilously close to 6 o'clock here,
what?
Sherry.
What time is it?
58 and a half.
Ooh, yes, I would say that is terminally close. Yeah.
Great. Shall we wrap it up then?
I think we should. I think we should. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure and privilege.
Talk to you in a week.
Okay, great.
Good night.
Good night.